we'd love to give you a visitor packet. The ushers are coming around and going to bring you the offering envelopes if you need one this morning. By the way, I mentioned Dodie's birthday is today, but Fabian, where's Fabian? Fabian's birthday is tomorrow. Everybody say happy birthday. Where is Fabian? Where is he? Oh, okay. There we are. We'll embarrass him. Yes. Oh, it's chocolate cake day. Well, that's good. All right. So go eat some chocolate cake. There you go. I have a few announcements. Dollar for Missions are, as somebody said, I can't remember, I think it was Carolina, she wanted to change the name, the Change for Missions. I think there's actually a new one. Is there? There should be a new one. It says Change for Missions. Is that not up there? Okay. I made one. I just didn't send it to you. And so launching February 24th, and so that's 4 Sundays away. We are getting our mailer all put together. We'll send it out to 40,000 homes from I-10 north and from 99 that way. And north, south, east, west. Yes, I know my directions. And so it'll also be tagged to Facebook and Instagram and Google advertisements. And so we hope on February 24th, we have a huge crowd where people coming out to check us out and see if this is where God wants them to be. I also want you, the biggest advertisements is you, going out and bringing your neighbors and your friends that's been you've been talking to and making sure they come, going the extra mile, doing whatever it takes to get them there, sort of whatever it takes, you know, within reason. And so that's coming down. Also, we need more strong men at the end at Teardown, loading up the trailer. And so everything's coming together. The backdrop here, we've been working on it. I think we've perfected it. And so it's good. And so every week we learn a little bit more. I think the foyer and the children's church, I think we got that down. The greeters, all of that's down. And they're still working out some electronics and audio. But it went a whole lot smoother than it went last week. And last week was a whole lot better than the week before. So we're getting there. So the Wednesday before February 24th, whatever Wednesday that is, we're going to do a night of worship at our offices. That will be at the youth room at Faith West. And just a time to gather together and worship as we prepare for February 24th. Also, next week I'll preach a message on fasting, and I would love for all of us to fast over the month of February in preparation of what God wants to do at February 24th, just kind of breakthrough Sunday. And so, anyway, I'll be telling you more about that. If you have your team cards, you can put them in the offering plates, or you can turn them into the info table. Youth is on Wednesday nights. We start meeting at Faith West. That is 5350. Is that it? No, I'm totally off. That's 2225. Don't listen to me. Read. Porter Road at Faith West. If you don't know where that's at, call me. I'll be there. And I think everybody liked being over there. So that's going on. And so go groups throughout the week, Thursdays, Fridays, Sunday. The newest one is our young adults, and they're meeting right after service today, but they normally meet at 3 o'clock on Sundays as well. So if you are a young adult, you are welcome to go there. And so our goals, where we want our goals to be, we want 25 people saved in 2019. I think that's achievable. We want to see 50 people going through our Go 101 and utilized in the ministry, and we want to be averaging over 200 people. And so can I also say something that just really happened cool? I have a friend named Mario Silva. He's a pastor in San Antonio. He pastors Living Faith Church. Good friend of mine, supported me on the mission field for 8 years. When I go to San Antonio to preach, that guy would serve me like nobody else. I mean, he just was a super humble guy. I preached in his church every time I went, and just a super guy. Well, in December, they take up an offering. They call it a legacy offering. And they pray about where to send that money, because they want to send the money to somewhere that has a legacy that will have a generational return on it. And this week, I got a check for $3,377 for Go Church, because they wanted to sow into us. So that's huge. It was more than the amount of money. it was also the huge blessing of knowing this church in San Antonio believes in us, is excited for us, and is willing to sow into us. And so that was just huge to me. And then I was speaking to a Foursquare pastor that's in the Houston area, Katy area this week, really struggling financially, and it's bivocational. He doesn't have a job. So we're going to take a portion of that, and we have been greatly blessed. We're going to take a portion of that and bless him and his family as they're struggling through the season. And so I want you to know, not only are we receiving, but we also want to make sure we're a blessing to the other aspects of the body of Christ as well. So I thought that was the rightful thing to do. And so I get to bless him today after church with a check and just say, man, you got a church praying for you and believing for you. So anyway, thank y'all. Thank y'all for sowing. Sue's going to come up and we're going to watch a video on YFN, and then she's going to... We're not going to watch a video on YFN? We are going to watch a video. We're not going to watch a video. Okay, we're going to look at a screen that says YFN. All right. And so Sue's going to come up and share a little bit about on it, and then I'll also take up the tithes and offerings.
Okay, so I guess the video is not working correctly. So if you want to go to the YFN website, the video is on there, so you can see it. If you're interested in YFN. So those of you who are interested in coming to YFN, the youth, if you are from sixth grade into graduating from high school, you are welcome to attend YFN. We want you to come. If you are over 18, you've already graduated, you're in your 20s or whatever, you want to come as a youth leader, we encourage you to come as a youth leader. But we need the registration in by this Wednesday. So you can bring your you can pay online. There's a drop down when you go into our website to pay. You can pay online if you want, if you prefer doing that way, or you can bring us a check. Either way, you can bring it over to Faith West, where Pastor Lee's office is, or if he's not there, you can put it in my box because I work at Faith West Academy. So you can ask the lady at the front office to put it in my box, and she'll put it in my box for me. Just put it in an envelope. And so please get your registration forms in by this Wednesday. You can bring it to youth also, okay? So you can either bring it over to the church or you can bring it to youth on Wednesday. Anything else? Do I need to announce anything else about YFN, Cedric? Yeah. It's $75 is the deposit that we need by this Wednesday. And then overall, we've passed out, there's information that we've got, but it's going to be roughly, the total is going to be probably like $275, yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah, and we're hoping to use fundraising to do that, to fund that, so... and if you've got ideas for fundraisers, we definitely need your ideas. And anyone that is a good fundraiser, are you volunteering? You're buying baked goods. Okay, she's telling us to do a bake sale. Okay, you'll make the baked goods. Okay, well, today's chocolate cake day, so maybe we need to make a chocolate cake. All right. So are we good with that? Good with When are we going? We are going the first week of July, July 1st through the 5th. That is the week of that we're planning to go. And the thing is in order for us to go to that week, we have to have the funds in this by the end of this month. So we are the deposits. That's going to be the best week. We're just hoping for that week. So. Right, and to get the early bird rate. So we really want to get that in, get locked in that we're going to go that week. If we can't get in that week, then we're going to have to look at another week. All right, so any other questions? Good questions, good questions. Anybody? Yes, ma'am. The speakers, some of the speakers are, one of them is Maddie Montgomery. I don't know if you've heard of him. Yeah. I know the young adults really like him. He's legit. He's lit. Is he lit? Is he lit? Okay. So, yes, sir. Okay, we'll do it. what was the other thing? There's the youth pastor for John Gray's church is going to be there. So his Manny Arango, John Bevere, that's right, John Bevere. And then of the director of YFN, Pastor Chris. No, Chris Estrada moved to Colorado. Yeah, so they've got a new YFN director. Yeah. That was Micah. It's not Micah Smith. Right. So Micah he's also going to speak there. So it's going to be good. I promise you. Every student that's ever gone, that's experienced it, some of these young adults that are in the room have experienced it. They know it's going to be worth it. You'll love it. You will be blessed. They pray over this camp starting in September. As soon as the old camp is done, then they start begin praying and prepping for the new season. So, and I really believe that this is just going to be an anointed season. The theme is a new era. And so just kind of like this new era for the church and what we're stepping into as a body. So I think that's going to be really cool. All right. Any other questions before we move on? All right. It's in Dallas, Texas. Yeah. Dallas, Texas. On the campus of Christ for the Nations Institute. All right. Questions? Okay, if you have more questions, please email me, or you can. We have a youth email. It's goyouth@gochurchtextx.org. So you can email me questions. You can email me that registration form. You can, or you can, you know, whatever you need to do. All right, questions? Good. All right, so. I have been really praying about about our tithe and our exhortation. So one of the things that the Lord was just speaking to me about when it comes to giving, I was thinking of that game show, Let's Make a Deal, right? Have y'all ever seen that game show, Let's Make a Deal? Okay, so the people come dressed up. They're looking silly and foolish or whatever, and then the game show host calls them up and usually gives them, like, some money, starts them off with something, right? And then they have to take that money, and he says, well, you can keep it or you can turn it in and you might get something, right? You can trade it in. And so the person sitting there like maybe they got $1,000 in their hand. They're like thinking, wow, I got $1,000. You know, and then you could turn it in and you don't know what's going to be behind the screen or in the box or whatever, right? And that what could be, it could be a zonk. You know, that's what they call it, a zonk. Like it's like a total loser gift and you don't want that, right? Or it could be something really special. And sometimes we think of giving to God that way, right? We have our money. We have that money. We're like, wow, I've got this $1,000 or whatever, and sure could buy a new iPhone, right? I could go out and buy me a new iPhone 10. Or I can give it, right? Or you can take that risk. And the thing is we oftentimes think of it like it's a risk, like it's a chance. Like if we're in the game show, you don't know that game show host is, if he's sincere, what's going to happen. It's all a game of chance. That whole thing is a game of chance. But when we go to God and we give our money, God is not a game show, right? We give, we know our confidence is completely in him and that he will provide. We don't have to worry about if am I trading this in for something that's going to stink. You know, he's not going to give us a zonk. He's going to bless us. And so I was reading in Philippians. It's Philippians 4:14. And this is Paul talking to the church of Philippi. And he's saying, you've so graciously provided for my essential needs during this season of difficulty. For I want you to know that the Philippian church was the only church that supported me in the beginning as I went out to preach the gospel. You were the only church that sowed into me financially. And when I was in Thessalonica, you supported me for well over a year. I mentioned this not because I'm requesting a gift, but that, but so that the fruit of your generosity may bring you an abundant reward. I have all that I need, more than enough. I am abundantly satisfied, for I have received your gift and viewed it as sweet sacrifice, perfumed with the fragrance of your faithfulness, which is so pleasing. I am so pleasing to God. I am convinced that my God shall fully supply every need you have, for I have seen the abundant riches of glory revealed to me through the Anointed One, Jesus Christ. And the God of our Father will receive all of the glory and honor through the eternity of eternities. I just like Paul is fully convinced that we will be abundantly supplied all of our needs. And so we can be fully convinced that he will supply all of our needs, that when we give, he will give. He will take care of us. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, that we can trust you. We trust you with our very lives, Father. We trust you that you can take every ounce of us and use it for your kingdom and for your glory. And I thank you, Lord, that we would just be obedient to your truth, to your word, and trust that when we give, you are seeing our hearts and you know our hearts and you supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
We, when we were in Belize, we were raising funds for youth. We would do a bake sale every Sunday, and so people would just kind of give a donation for the brownies and everything, and we raised all kinds of money that way. So that, and we did it several times leading up to it. A couple of things that several people have mentioned is baptism. And so if you are interested in being baptized, message me. I'll put you on a list, and I'll schedule something out over the next 6 weeks. Faith West has a beautiful baptistry, and says they are welcome to let us use it. And so, and not only that, in the summer we can do baptisms in their lake, which is really, really cool, which I just think is a little bit more biblical. Not that the other's not, but anyway, I just think it more historical is probably maybe a better word. And so I kind of like that idea, and so I'm excited about that. Also, one last one, my daughter, where's my daughter? Where's my daughter, Kaylee? There she is. She totally told me not to do this, but I told her I'm going to do it anyway. As y'all know, that she has gone through the process of receiving credentials, and Foursquare this week sent us, Kaylee, you want to come on up? Yeah. Come on up. They need to see your beautiful face. It says, it is my great pleasure to inform you that the Board of Directors of the International Church of the Foursquare Gospel has approved your application to receive a U.S. license. I've enclosed a copy of the resolution. And it begins the letter by saying, Reverend Kaylee Brockington. So before I put it up, I just want to show y'all this right here, her credentials. You can hold it. Rick is taking your picture over there. Look at there. So we will frame that up nice. You can just call her Reverend K, the Rev. If you are planning on getting married, talk to her. And so cool stuff. We are blessed. My message this morning is 5 biblical lessons for the launch team, specifically for us this morning. 4 weeks away from launch, February will be a month of perfecting, of fasting, of worshiping, of preparing for our lunch. And it will be a time that we will go the extra mile to invite our friends. You have invited your neighbor, the church, thousands of times. That's a slight exaggeration. They've never come. You will go the extra mile. That may be invite them out to dinner. I don't know how you want to bribe them. And so you just go ahead and bring them here on February 24th. There's a Sunday we'll do once a year. We call it Friend Day. Y'all remember Friend Day? And so at Life as well as at LifeNet in Belize, it would be our largest Sunday. It would be the most salvations we would have throughout the year, and it was targeted to the unchurched, and we asked everybody to bring somebody to church that Sunday. Launch Sunday is that kind of Sunday, and so do whatever it takes to bring someone. I'm super excited about it. Kind of a segue of that, nothing about launch here, but LifeNet Church in Belize today has Nicole C. Mullins is doing a mini concert on Sunday. Any of y'all know Nicole? Yeah, so she is there doing a concert at the church. So they're probably packed out today. So I'm blessed and to hear the good report coming up. So super excited what we're moving into. Every week we get better and better at perfecting what we're doing. You know, this is a season that I hope in 30 years you will tell your grandkids about. When I met with Rick up here, we went out to lunch, the Chick-fil-A, when he had messaged me and said, hey, I'd like to be a part of your church. And one of the things I remember distinctly him saying is that I've always wanted to be a part of the beginnings from the ground up to go up. I wanted to be part of a church plant. And I think everybody here is pretty much in that sentiment. I want to be part from the ground up, from the beginning on. I want you to be able to tell your grandkids one day about being a part when we were just meeting at the school. When we first met at the barbecue studio restaurant, and so exciting times. And so it's exciting times for us, and y'all are all a part of that. This morning's message comes from about a year ago. I read a blog from a missionary in Thailand. Her name is Rebecca Davies, and I read her 5 points of her new year, and I was so captivated by those 5 points. I really felt the Holy Spirit spoke and said, jot these down. You will use them one day. So this week, I email her and says, hey, do you mind if I tweak your 5 points and bring it to our church on Sunday morning? And she said, yeah, go right ahead. I'm not sure who wrote it. So she didn't actually write it. So I don't know who to accredit for except for her. So I will give her the credit because I don't know who wrote it. But it was good. This is a sermon that I hope you take notes for. When I read these, when I was struggling for the message for today, and I read this, I believe this hit home very hard for us as Launch Sunday. And so another thing I wanted to tell you about is one thing that I love about us being a launch team is the ownership you have for the vision. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Sandra Holcomb is home today, sick with a son who has the flu. So she's not here to hear this. So Chris, you're going to have to pass it on. But she forwarded or shared a post on Facebook, a Go Church post this week, and she said, and I quote, my church rocks. What I loved about that, she did not say Pastor Lee's church rocks. She did not say the church I attend rocks. She said, my church rocks. You see ownership there. You see ownership of the vision. And I believe that's what we walk in as a church right now. We own what God is doing. We are on this journey together. You have owned the vision. You have owned the work. You have owned the journey. You have owned the responsibility. And you have owned the mantle of what God wants to do in our community through Go Church. So I thank you for that. It's pretty cool. The keys that I will share today are go way beyond the vision for a local church. They definitely can be applied for your own life. They talk about God's destiny or purpose for your life. And I believe they apply to all of us in every area of our life. And I hope you take notes because I think it's very, very good. I hope something the Holy Spirit uses it to grab on one or two of these and you take them and wrestle with it and think about it and pray about it. But we're going to get right into it. 5 keys to live your life with intentionality for God's purpose. Number one, do ordinary things in extraordinary ways. Do ordinary things in extraordinary ways. There's a story in the Bible in 1 Samuel chapter 9 where a young man named Saul, it's funny, I laugh right now because my notes, how many of y'all are like the worst speller in the world? Anybody else? I'm like terrible. I will even misspell words that I know are right. And so this, is it misspelled? You know what's funny about that? I changed that like 3 times. So not only that, y'all just ignore that. I love that. Jody, you're supposed to catch that. No, it's totally my fault. But what's even crazier than that, I know how to spell Saul. It's S-A-U-L, you know, the person Saul. But in my notes, my original notes, I changed them for the Spanish translation, but my original notes that probably Jody got, I spelled it S-A-W. And I'm reading my own notes going, I know how to spell Saul. What was going on there? And so, anyway, I am the totally worst speller in the entire world. I will spell someone Saul's name wrong. So in my notes here, I highlighted in green the proper spelling of his name. Anyway, that has nothing to do with my message, except to say Saul was out. His family had lost a bunch of donkeys, and he was sent out to look for the donkey. Everybody said, oh, look at those donkeys. Do you know every donkey has a cross on its back? Did y'all know that? That's true. Every donkey has a cross on its back. No, true. Google it. You'll find it. And so, see, again, I'm chasing rabbits. Back to the story. Saul's been looking all day for these donkeys. He cannot find them. Will he quit? No, he won't quit. The Bible says he's on a cliff, and he looks down to the village, and he says a seer lives down there, better known as the prophet Samuel. And he said, I bet he will know where those donkeys are. He would go the extra mile. He would not quit. What he was doing was something ordinary. It was plain. It was simple. It was looking for some donkeys, but he did it in extraordinary ways. Little did he know, as he's walking down the cliff to go see Samuel, God is speaking to Samuel and said, the man that you are about to see, anointing as your king. His job was ordinary. But he accomplished it by going beyond the call of duty. His choice was to do an ordinary thing in an extraordinary way, and ultimately it led to his destiny of being king. What if he would have just said, nah, let's just go home? We talked about this last week. Go Church is full of imperfect people, flawed people. But we must do everything we do as a church with excellence. We will never be perfect, but everything we do, we must do it with excellence. We will never give God our leftovers. We will never give God our hand-me-downs. We will give God our best. We will give God our first fruits, not our leftover fruits. Does any of y'all shop online at Walmart for grocery pickup? Anybody? My wife? Okay. My wife thinks it's the world's best thing since sliced bread. I mean, for real. Every time she comes home, she said, what's crazy? And she says, probably Americans won't understand how beautiful this is unless you live in a third world country for a while. She goes, America has so many conveniences that are just amazing. And let me tell you, if you've never ordered from Walmart online, and they're paying me for this, not really, but anyway, is Robin orders online. One of the greatest benefits for me and my budget is she doesn't wander through the aisles buying things that we don't really need. So she buys on our list. She goes up, and they say, yes, ma'am, who are you? And she says, Robin. They pick it up, and they bring the groceries. And a lot of people has asked, yeah, but I don't really like that because, you know, they're probably giving the leftover bananas. You know, the tomatoes are about to go up. But Robin says, and Robin's boss, so she knows what she's talking about. She said they hired the best employees to work that section of Walmart. She said those are super nice people. They're super friendly. Here's even another thing. She buys a generic brand. They don't have it. They'll give you the top brand, and sometimes even double the quantity just to apologize for not having it. Y'all need to shop at Walmart groceries. Here we go. Anyway, and people will say, you know, but what are the apples? But Robin says what they do, they have been trained and instructed to go find the best fruits, the best vegetables for you, and bring them to the car. Robin wants, when she's shopping, she doesn't want to get the worst fruits and vegetables. She wants the best. God wants our best. He doesn't want our leftovers. He wants our best. We must do the work that we do with excellence, with passion, and with love. Much of what we do here on Sunday morning, we get here at 8:30 in the morning. We have a setup crew and a teardown crew. We have usher duty and greeters. We have nursery and a coffee team and so many more doing ordinary things, if you will, mundane, simply just hard work. But we shall do it in extraordinary ways. We will accomplish our task with great joy. If you read the story of Saul, he may have messed up in his later years, but he's got something to teach us in his youth. Today we face ordinary things. You will go home and do laundry. You will take out your trash. You will wash your car, maybe. You will change some diapers. You will do some dishes. And you will have served at Go Church. Do these ordinary things in extraordinary ways. The second key of living your life for God's purpose. Number two is steward your responsibilities. Is that spelt right, guys? Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Cynthia, teacher. Steward your responsibilities. Colossians chapter 3, 23 says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. When you work for Jesus, you give it to Jesus. You don't do it before men." You may think your role at Go Church is small, or maybe you think it's great, but God is asking you to steward your current responsibility. Think of the angels in the field. They were just stewarding their responsibility. They were shepherding their sheep, and angels showed up and said, "Guess what? Jesus has just been born." Think of Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They were mending their nets, tending to their responsibility when Jesus called them to follow him. They were stewarding their responsibility. Where God has you right now is where God wants you to do your best. He wants you to steward your responsibility right now. Steward right where you are as you serve the Lord. I like the word steward. I use it a lot lately. It simply means it is one who manages or looks after another person's property or dealings. Marriage is God's definition, but we steward that definition to the next generation. We steward the definition of marriage to our children. We define to them what it is. Our children are truly God's children. But he has entrusted us to raise them and instill the values in them. We steward that responsibility. The second key in our focus and guidance to God's purpose, this is steward your responsibility. Do it as unto the Lord, not of man. Number three. Everybody say number three. All right. You said that quick, Cynthia. Number three. All right. View every job as training for your destiny. Do every job as training for your destiny. 1 Samuel chapter 16, the Bible speaks of David. He was tending sheep. In the midst of tending those sheep, again doing an ordinary job in an extraordinary way, he sees a lion, takes out a slingshot, kills a lion. He sees a bear, takes out a slingshot, obviously not on the same day. He perfects his skill set. A few years later, he comes up to a man named Goliath. The Israelites are scared to death. They are petrified. This guy is going to annihilate all of us. And all the years in the field, David was being prepared for his destiny. He bloomed right where he was planted. David perfected his skill by killing the lion and the bears and perfecting his sheep in order to prepare to kill his Goliath. The things that you are going through right now, God is preparing you to kill your Goliath, preparing you for your destiny. Have you ever thought about it a little bit like this way? Everybody knows what Karate Kid is. Everybody knows. Everybody's seen Karate Kid right there. Right there. A little wax on. A wax off. You write that? Anybody know? Wax on. Wax off. Sometimes in your job and what you are doing for Jesus, you may feel it a lot like this. Mr. Miyagi, what am I doing? This has nothing to do with karate. This is waxing your car. You are working me as a slave, and I am learning nothing. And then he says, "Oh, my son, you know, and put it up there." And he figures it all out, and he beats the big guys. all that time Mr. Miyagi was teaching him to conquer his Goliath. Maybe what you are doing in life right now, maybe it's on your job, maybe even at Go Church, you feel, God, isn't there more for me? Could God be training you to kill your Goliath? Could God be doing a wax on, wax off kind of job? My first church that I pastored, I was telling someone about that this week. I probably told you about this before. I was right out of Bible college. I made a huge salary. I mean, I joined the ministry for making money, let me tell you, because I made $50 a week. That was my salary. I worked 40-plus hours a week. I made $50 a week. I did get room. I was in a church of about 120 people. I was the evangelism pastor. It sounds like a real professional name to make $50 a week. I worked at a school. I mowed the lawn. I did everything I was asked in an extremely dysfunctional church. In fact, it was so dysfunctional, the first 2 weeks I lived there, I didn't have an apartment, and I lived with a pastor, and the pastor was also a chaplain of the prison. He had begun to about midnight to get home. And I'm 23 years old. His wife was a farmer, Miss Texas, a very beautiful woman. And I'm living in this house as an adult male in this home, a little awkward. And I remember one night we were sitting at a bar stool, and she said, if I did it all over again, I wouldn't marry that man. And I'm like, oh, where's the door? I'm Joseph. Potiphar's about to be home. But I remember thinking in my head, oh my goodness, and this is my new boss, my new pastor. His marriage was in chaos. His ministry was in chaos. His finances at his home as well as in the church were chaos. Everything about him was wrong when it came to ministry. He would stand up from the pulpit and say, everybody, all the other churches in town are going to hell, and you can go tell them that this is the only church that's doing it right. He controlled people through manipulation. And yet, can I say, I would not trade that season of my life for anything. The budget that I use in my personal life at home that I am a stickler to is the budget that I designed for that church when I took over the church finances. The things that so many things that I learned what not to do was learned at that church. That season of my life shaped who I am as a minister of the gospel and what God has called me to do, because I learned so much what not to do. It may have felt a whole lot like a wax on, wax off. Why in the world am I here, God? This is messed up. Robin came and visited me. This was an Assembly of God church. Nothing against Assembly of God, so please don't take care of that. Robin was at an Assembly of God church. She visited this church. She went home and said, I think Lee has joined a cult. And he said, it's the same family as we are, but it was that dysfunctional. Remember Benny Hinn? Benny Hinn picked up a chair at his crusade and threw it. You better look out, because the pastor was going to pick up a chair and throw it, because that had to have been how the anointing operated on that Sunday. It was just a messed up church. You would come forward to get prayed for, and you would be prayed for, and if you didn't fall, he would cuss you out. He would cuss you out in the office. You know, what's wrong with so-and-so? I won't believe when I prayed for them, they didn't fall out, that blankety-blank woman. It was messed up. But God taught me so much during that season. I learned so much. So many things that I value in ministry today, God taught me through default at that church. What I'm saying is, bloom where you are planted. God is training you to kill your Goliaths. The third key, I was closing that out, is view every job is training for your destiny. Thank you, Sue. Glad you're paying attention. The fourth key, live life for God's purpose, is behave like you're passionate even when you don't feel like it. Behave like you're passionate even when you don't feel like it. I'm not a huge fan of sports. I like my UFC once in a while. I definitely like my NASCAR race. I like my Sunday afternoon football game. And may I say, the Saints got robbed. There it is. There it is. There's the play right there, Sue. But let me tell you, you have to bring it. You have to bring your game when you feel like it or not. So I've asked Cedric, since his muscles are almost as big as mine, to come forward and to share just for a second. Let me read you a scripture as he comes. I've already read this scripture, Colossians chapter 3:23. It says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not to men. So the question I have to you, Cedric, is it true that you must bring it at every game, not only on the times you feel like it?
Definitely, yeah. It's very powerful, and as I was thinking about what to share, a lot of the points that were made earlier are so key. But it's true, you have to bring it even when you don't feel like it. We all talk about and hear about the heart of a champion, and as the sports kind of stick to that theme, what comes to mind is Michael Jordan. Game 5, 1997, they call it the flu game. So understanding he had flu-like symptoms. Now, I don't know about everybody else, but if I have flu-like symptoms, the last thing in my mind is going out competing for a championship. But one article goes on to say that he willed himself to score 38 points, and obviously, you know, the outcome of that. So it takes, your mindset has to be there because it determines your effort. So if your mindset is conditioned to say, this is what I have to do, you know already what you're going to do. And we talked about this at youth as well. If you tell yourself, I'll try, most likely your effort is going to be subpar. So this all comes into bring it even when you don't feel like it. A couple of things, if you don't mind. And we're also going through a book in our girl group, and it talks about the difference between being powerful and powerless. And it ties into that theme as well, so I really want to point that out. It's by Danny Silk, Keep Your Love On. I have two verses, and this kind of ties it all together. It's 1 Corinthians 9:24. If it's not the translation you used to, I apologize. But it reads, do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that race that you may obtain it. That speaks to competitive. Having the heart of a champion, bring it when you don't feel like it. If you remember back in 94, 95, also speaking about sports, the Rockets, what was Rudy T's, right? Never underestimate the heart of a champion. I think that one hit home for some of you guys, but that's key. That gave me goosebumps. And I like what Pastor said because I wrote that as well. You could apply this to sports, academics, any arts, careers, profession that you have. Bring it when you don't feel like it. One last verse. And let us not grow weary. Is that what the verse we just read? Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Wax on, wax off. Why am I doing this? Well, you're sowing. You're sowing so that whenever it's time, when it's game time, when the lights come on, your name gets called, you're ready. That's it.
Bring it even when you don't feel like it. On your job, if you come to your work, only on the days that you feel like it, you're going to bring it and do it with excellence. The other days you do it halfway, your superiors will absolutely take notice of that. If you come on the greeter team, a coffee team, usher team, youth team, go kids team, setup team, and I didn't name all of them because there's a million more. If you're passionate only on the days that you feel like it, that's not giving God our best. The passion might be the vehicle that God uses to serve a hurting person. And that may be the seed that brings someone to Jesus. People want to see people passionate about serving Jesus. Can I say that again? People want to see people passionate about serving Jesus. They don't want to see their work as a chore. They don't want to see it as religious. They don't want to see it as some, man, I'm just here doing my thing because that's what I'm supposed to do. They want to see it with joy, with passion, and with purpose. Let me just tell you, I stand up here in this pulpit every Sunday and preach, even when on the Sunday mornings my kids are a mess. I still got to bring it. Let me just tell you a little bit about a pastor's family. You know, the greatest day the enemy hits home in a pastor's family, it is Sunday morning. Robin and I figured that out, so we don't fight near as much as we used to, but about 10, 15 years ago, every Sunday morning, we would get in a big fight, and then I got to stand in the pulpit, and I got to bring it. One year on Easter Sunday. I'm pumped. I get out of bed. Obviously, it was all her fault. Obviously. I don't remember what we got in our argument, but it was a bad one. And I had to get in my car, and I went to church, and she told me she didn't even know if she was coming today. Pastor's wife, Easter Sunday. She showed up. She had some time with Jesus. He reminded her that this is an attack on the enemy. You need to get it together and love your husband in spite of him. And she did just that. I come on Sunday morning and I bring it when I feel like it or not. I have a mandate from God to preach the word. Sometimes you just got to step to the plate and bring what God has called you to bring. You have to be passionate about what God has called you to do, even when you don't feel like it. Feelings will come and go, but the mission we are called to still must be fulfilled. Hear me, I'm not saying you don't have a bad day. I'm not saying for you to fake it. But if you're having a bad day, gather some people around you, confess it, let them lay hands on you, pray about it, overcome it, get your joy back, and then go out and bring it and serve people. Think about this. What if a soldier in Afghanistan fighting some bad guys says one day, hey guys, I know we're going to go out and do some major war today, but just not feeling it today. I'm going to go with you, but I'm not going to bring my gun. Just don't feel like it. He's going to die. He's going to bring it on the days that he plans to fight, and when he doesn't plan the fight. I must give God my best all the time. I'm going to read you Ecclesiastes chapter 9, 10, somewhat a Lee Brockington paraphrase. It says it this way, or I say it this way. Whatever you do, do it all with all your might. Do your best. And then it says something very odd at the end, because you cannot do it when you're dead. Think about that. Do what God's called us to do with all our might. We must do our best because one day we will not have the privilege to do it. Behave like you're passionate, even when you don't feel like it. The fifth key to live life for God's purpose. The last one is super, super important. The last one will share some philosophy of who I am as a pastor and how I see ministry. It's seek first his kingdom. When Jesus brought us the kingdom here on earth, he did not desire for us to add it to our already busy lives. When Jesus brought us the kingdom, he didn't just say, hey, just add this in to your day. That's not the case at all. Rather, it is through his kingdom that everything else in life should flow through. All that we do. The Bible says, and you know this verse, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's not be Jesus on Sunday and a job on Monday. Jesus wants it to be Jesus on Sunday, Jesus on Monday, Jesus on Tuesday, Jesus on Wednesday, all the way through Saturday. He wants to be the forefront of all that we do. This does not mean that we need to go to church every Sunday, but what it does mean that we are to seek His kingdom purpose everywhere we are, at church, at work, at school. There is no sectioning out our lives. This is church life, this is school life, this is work life, this is grocery life, and I do these things. It is Jesus all the time. Now, this is the super important point. I've had people in the past say, "Pastor, you're the pastor. You take care of people's spiritual needs. I'm a teacher, so I take care of their educational needs. Or I'm a nurse, so I take care of their medical needs." May I say that that is a false concept? Let me say, marvelous professions, nothing against those professions. I have many teachers in this room right here. But as a believer, as a teacher, teaching might be the vehicle God uses you in. But your number one job is kingdom business. You are called to one purpose. It's called the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. You are called to love God and love people. You are called to reach people and disciple people. This is not simply a mission statement for Go Church. It is a call for the body of Christ of who we are as believers. It is our mission. We just simply use different vehicles to get there. And may I say, your vehicle being out in the marketplace is oftentimes far more effective than my vehicle. We have no hired holy men at Go Church because we are all called to be holy. 1 Peter 2:9 said this way. I'm going to add a couple of you's in there. I just want to let you know that. But you, that was already there. But you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. It didn't say the pastor's job or the fivefold ministry's job. It speaks to the body of Christ, and it says, you, it is our job to do kingdom business. We are a royal priesthood. We are called to reach and disciple people. We are called to use different vehicles to do it with, but we are called to do it. Using different vehicles does not erase our mandate from God to be light to a dark world and to reach people for Jesus. The fifth key to live life with God's purpose is to choose Him above all else, to seek first His kingdom. Everything else will fall into place. You are to be light bearers at your occupation. I'm not asking you to go over the top. I'm not asking you necessarily to use Christian lingo and say, "Hi, Brianna at Abercrombie, is that where you work? Something like that. Where do you work?" Oh, hallelujah, praise God. Woo! You know, I'm not asking you I'm just asking you to be light. I'm asking you to be so in love with Jesus where people stop and say, "Whoa, what is different about your life?" I'm asking you to be light to a very dark world. It is so important. Five keys to live life for God's purpose. Number one, do ordinary things in extraordinary ways. We as a church will never be a perfect people because we are flawed, but we must do everything we do with excellence. As we build this school into a temporary church location on Sunday morning, we will do our utmost best to make it a place of excellence. So when the visitors walk through those doors, they feel ready to worship Jesus. We will never give God our leftovers, our hand-me-downs. We will give God our best, our first fruits, not our leftover fruits. Number two, we will steward our responsibilities as unto the Lord. Number three, view every job as training for your destiny. Bloom where you're planted. Bloom where you're planted. Do it with all your might. God is training you to kill your Goliaths. Behave like you're passionate even when you don't feel like it. And lastly, and the most important one, seek first his kingdom. Put God first in all that you do. You are royal. You are chosen. You are called to proclaim the message of God to a dark world. Our mandate is to reveal the kingdom of God to the world around us. We must do that well. This is a message for Go Church, our launch team. We must prepare ourselves to invite a community around us, to invite them. Our greeter teams must be at their best. We must be ready. We must need to make sure that we're not focused on our own conversations and gathered to ourselves. We must make sure when a visitor walks through those doors, they feel like the most important person that walks through those doors. The setup crew works super hard for 2 hours before we get here, but everything we do is to make it a place of an environment where they walk in and they can experience Jesus and fall in love with Jesus and meet a people that loves people and loves Jesus. Everything we've been working on for like 6 months now leads up to our launch and beyond. I think we're getting ready to do that. I think we're doing a phenomenal job. Let's continue the good work. Would you stand with me this morning? George, if you want to come and play, or somebody. If a few of our leaders wouldn't mind just coming up here. If the Holy Spirit spoke to you about one of these 5 points, I would ask that you would put action. Why don't we come forward and have somebody pray for you? Let me tell you, because we put action to what we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying. When you don't put action to something that you feel the Holy Spirit saying, you know what happens? You feel the Holy Spirit say to you, and you say to Jesus in private in prayer, and you says, Jesus, when I leave today, I will change that. That will be changed in my life. Everybody prays. You didn't share it with anybody. 2 hours later, you've eaten, you forgot about it, you've moved on, and you think, what in the world did Jesus tell me again? Because I don't remember what it was. But when you step out and you grab somebody, you don't have to share all the details, but you ask them to pray for that specific area. And it says, the Holy Spirit spoke this about my life, and I want to change that. You put action to it. You confess it. You bring it out loud. If you will, there is accountability to the journey, and you respond to it, and then you begin to take steps to walk it out naturally. If there was one of those 5 points that the Holy Spirit just spoke to you and says, man, I want to work on that, I would ask that you would come forward and just join someone in prayer. You don't have to share all the details if you don't want to, but if you desire to come, you can come. If you're here with needs, if you are sick in body, or there is somebody in your life that is sick in body, if you're hurting or you want to pray for somebody, these people are up here right now. If you need, your relationship with Jesus is far away, and today's the day for you to rekindle that relationship. Man, we're here for you. If you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, we definitely want to pray with you. As George plays, if you desire to come, would you come?
Has something to do with this morning. I feel my spirit stirring up deeply because a couple of weeks ago when we were in intercession, the Lord said, when God chose David to be king and rule the people, God chose him. And he had to go through some time of trouble, and he found himself hidden in a cave because Saul was against him. but he was chosen by God to do a work, and God was going to make sure that that work was going to be done. But David had a heart for God to do things correctly. But when he's in this cave, he found himself praying to God and saying, oh my Lord, like, why are all these troubles after me when you have called me? And all of a sudden, God had prepared the hearts of people all around the land who had heard the prophecies and who were aligned with God to do that work. And they showed themselves to this cave with David. And the Bible says that these people were wounded, that these people were broken. And a couple weeks ago when we were praying, the Lord reminded me of this word, because the Lord has called Pastor Lee and the Go Church and every single one of us to do the work here in Katy. And a lot of us come from different places, and a lot of people are still carrying wounds, but I want to encourage you to stand boldly to this morning and say, this is the last day that I walk around with this wound. And I saw people entering this morning, and I know that these people were battling some kind of sickness. And some of them have already left because they had to leave earlier. But some people are carrying sickness because of these wounds. Because of these same wounds, your emotions, your thoughts, your mind, and your body. And I just want to encourage you that this morning is the morning where God wants to say, Go Church, we heard the message today. Even when we don't feel like it, we show up. And that means that, Lord, this morning, we're all in agreement saying, we're coming to launch day, February 21st, 4th, as people who have been healed, restored, and are equipped to do the work here in Katy. Because we're just not going to be here to entertain people. We're here to do the work of the Lord. So I encourage you, if you guys feel shy or don't want to come forward, just close your eyes wherever you are. Just close your eyes and can I pray? And just close your eyes, and along with me, we come from different places, and you all don't know my story, and I don't know your story, but God knows the story. He has written our story, and he has called each and every single one of us to partner with him. And Lord, I just pray, just close your eyes if this is something you want to do. Just close your eye and say, and say it in your heart. Lord, dear Jesus, we just come to you this morning as one body. As one body, and as Pastor Lee said this morning, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness. It means that we're going to be in right standing with the Father, and we're partnering with him. And Lord, we just know that everything that has come against us is just the obstacles the enemy wants to put in front of us to hinder your work. But this is greater than my life. This is greater than me. This is about your kingdom here on earth. So, Lord, I just pray and I declare healing over the bodies of my brothers and my sisters. My Lord, that you put your hand where no man can go, that you restore backs, that you restore lungs, that you restore, Lord, even just things that even doctors don't know how to restore. You know how to do it because you are the creator. And Lord, we surrender completely to you. And we embrace your love and we embrace your healing, Lord. And we just thank you for choosing us, for thinking of us, that we were called for such a time as this. We began this morning praying for this nation, praying for New York, praying for the lives of those people that we still haven't seen, because we love them, because God loves them. And Lord, we are your vessels. We are your children. And this morning, I just pray and declare healing in this place. Healing over Go Church. Healing over every single wound, my Lord. Whatever wound that has been provoked by another man, that we bring forgiveness. That we give them, we forgive them, not because they deserve it, but because the tormentors have no place in our hearts and in our minds. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
If you still need to come, would you come? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Jesus. Guys, there's still ministry going on, so be sensitive to that as we leave. I hope you're as excited as I am about launch 2019. We're almost there, so it's an exciting time. Father, I thank you for the message that was brought. I thank you for the words that were spoken. God, that we would be a people that would give you our best all the time, God. We would serve you with all our hearts. We would serve you, God. God, we praise you for what you're doing among Go Church. God, we praise you for what you're doing individually in our lives. We praise you for what you're doing in our Go groups and how you're transforming lives there, God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. See you next week.